Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, this is Lewis Fine, and we have, as always, a great show for you today with Kevin Guz from Homevestors Dallas. This is a sequel of sorts from our previous show where Kevin discussed what to do when your marketing is working, when you have successful marketing and the phone is ringing, what you need to do upon answering those calls. Well, in this program, Kevin's going to take that issue and expand on it by telling you not only what you should do, but what you shouldn't do, the avoidable mistakes that you should be aware of so your marketing is successful and as a result you can build a genuine, effective brand. With that said, let me bring Kevin on the program. Kevin, welcome.
Thank you, Lewis. Glad to be here.
So let's dive into this. First, let's speak to the right actions that you should perform once that phone is ringing and you've established a rapport with a potential client.
Great. Yeah, let's get into some of the tacticals. You know, last time we spoke, as you mentioned, we were kind of theoretical about some guiding principles of listening and building rapport and getting invited as being the key guiding principles. But as you request, let's get to the tacticals, and we'll start with the do's of that call. And you'll hear me refer to this is the buy call. The seller is calling in because they're responding to your advertisement as an investor to buy their house. And here's some tactical do's, and then we'll get to the don'ts in a little bit, so hang in there for those. But to go through the do's, I'm going to drop them into five very common buckets. And these are the things you want to do, the five things you want to accomplish during that telephone call when that seller calls in. And this is very anticlimactic. They're going to fall into the five buckets of what, why, where, when, and how. So let's start with number one. Under the what, you want that seller to tell you about their house. And you get to that information simply by asking, early on in the call most likely, hey, thanks for calling. Tell me about your house. And they're going to tell you a lot of things. And they may go a lot of different directions. They may talk about it needs a new roof. Or they may talk about it needs some paint. Or some new carpet. Or they may tell you, we just put on a new roof. We just painted the whole house inside and out. We just put in all new flooring. Regardless of what they tell you and how they describe that property, you want to get at their motivation. And ultimately, that's going to uncover here. If they go down a long laundry list of all the things that are wrong, their motivation is going to be pretty clear that, boy, they've got to sell this house. It's got more problems than they can handle, more problems than they can afford, and more problems that are going to be permissible or allowable to sell that house on the traditional retail market. But inversely, they may also describe all the great renovations and investments they made in the house, and you may uncover that, wow, this is a nice house, recently updated, market ready. This particular seller may have no motivation to sell to an investor for cash as is at a discount. So that's the what. Tell me about your house. What is it like? You're going to get at their motivation. Number two, the why. It's another simple question. Why do you want to sell? If that hasn't become clear already as they describe their house and their situation in the previous questioning, then ask the why. Why do you want to sell? This is going to get you straight to their pain, the pain that you've got to relieve and take out of their life. Why do you want to sell? I inherited a house that I never wanted. I inherited a house that's 3,000 miles away. I'm going through a divorce. I'm going through a job loss. I'm going through some life-changing event. You'll find out their pain with that why question Why do you want to sell? And you're going to know what you need to do as an investor then to solve that pain for them, which ultimately and ideally is going to result in the purchase of that home. Number three, it's the where. And remember, we're talking about all the do's. What do you want to do or accomplish during that call? You got to find out where that house is. Very simply, what is the address? That may sound very elementary, but this is critical information, not only so that you can get there when it comes time for the actual appointment, but more importantly, you've got to know where that house is because you've got some due diligence to do before that appointment when you meet with that seller. You've got to run comps. You've got to determine the market value of that property if you were to buy it, fix it, and sell it. You also might, as a real estate investor, you've got to look at where that house is. You may be looking at that as a rental house. Well, you need that address so you can figure out what that house will rent for when you purchase it, if you purchase it. The market value of that house or the market rent of that house is the first number that you have got to get in order to have all your numbers fall into place. For example, the repair numbers next, in order to determine what you're going to purchase that home for. So it's critical to know, hey, where is the house? What is the address? So you can get to work and do your homework prior, and I stress prior to your appointment. You need to know the market value, the market rents, and exactly what you could sell or rent that house for before you go on the appointment, not after.
Number four, seems to be obviously a reiteration of that crucial concept of due diligence.
Yes, you're right. And you're going to hear me mention in a minute, but I'll give you a peek under the tent. I, as a real estate investor, and I recommend this for all investors, I have never left an appointment with a seller without making an offer. If they've been kind enough to set aside time and invite me into their home for the purpose of potentially selling their home, then I, as a credible and reputable and professional investor, I've got to satisfy their objective and leave them with an offer. I can't do that if I haven't done the due diligence. I can't do that if I haven't studied the market and understand the value of that property. I can't do that if I haven't talked to them about the repairs and walked the house and understand that. So to your point, due diligence is critical, and there's a fine example of why, because you have got to leave them an offer. You can't leave that appointment and say, I'll circle back with you, I'll get back to you, let me come back again. That's not what that seller's seeking, that's not what they deserve, and that's not how you should perform as an investor. Leave them an offer as you leave the appointment. The fourth do is when. When can we meet? You know, this is kind of the old adage of, hey, that's a great salesperson, but they always forget to ask for the sale. Well, if that seller calls you on the phone in response for your marketing and you fail to ask, well, when can I come meet? When can I see the house? When can I make you an offer? Then you fail to close the sale, so to speak. And you simply ask them, well, when can I get there? What's your schedule look like? And I'll tell you, as a full-time real estate investor, there are many times when that question is answered with, can you be here in an hour? And in those situations, I'll drop everything and I'll be there in an hour. And you need to be prepared for that as an investor. These are distressed sellers. Ideally, they're motivated sellers. And when you get a distressed and motivated seller on the phone, their demands could be very short-term and very immediate, and you need to be prepared because the first investor they can get to the house has the greatest chance of purchasing the home, removing their pain, and solving their situation. So be prepared. Ask when you can get there and deliver upon whatever timing it is that they need or request or want. And then finally,
now what about
don't?
You just read my mind, Kevin. I wanted to say those are some essential do's, and people should be aware of that, especially, of course, real estate investors. But what about the don'ts, the avoidable, emphasis on avoidable mistakes?
Well, there's a couple don'ts, and these come from nothing real clinical or scientific, but more so from my own personal experience as a Homebester franchisee owner here in Dallas and as a real estate investor, is number one, don't worry about the timing of that call in terms of, boy, I need to keep the seller on the phone for 15 minutes for this to be a productive and meaningful conversation. Or inversely, wow, I got to get the seller off the phone in 3 minutes because this is a waste of my time. I need to get them off the phone and get to their house. Don't worry about that. You know, there's not a scoreboard or a time clock. This isn't a sporting event. Let the seller lead the timing of the call. You're going to get some sellers, and you'll understand this if you're listening, as we talked about last time, they only may want to spend a minute or two on the phone. Just get to the facts, schedule the appointment, and they want you out at their house as soon as possible. And I'll tell you, more often than not, from experience, you're also going to get sellers on the phone who may talk for a while. 30, 45 minutes, an hour is not at all unheard of. And you've got to be prepared to listen and entertain that conversation because they obviously have something to tell you, and it may take them a while to get to it, but it's an important conversation, and it's a critical interaction for you to listen, build your rapport, and ultimately get invited out to make an offer on that property. So don't worry about the time. Let the seller lead that dance, and if they want to dance for 30 minutes, let them dance. If they want to be off the dance floor in a minute or two with that conversation, I'm on the dance floor any longer than they need to. Another don't that I've learned over time is, and this will happen, so be prepared with your answer. Many sellers are going to ask you for an offer over the phone. Well, you sent me the letter. You obviously know where I live. How much do you want to pay? And you've got to be prepared with an explanation and an answer that you simply have no idea. You've got, as a professional, you've got to do your due diligence. You've got to research the market value. You've got to determine your exit strategy. You've got to see the house. You've got to assess and quantify the repairs. There's so many variables in your calculation as a professional that in order for you to make the best possible offer, and oh, by the way, the highest possible offer, you've got to do those due diligence steps and follow a process. You're a professional, and inherent in your professionalism is process. For those reasons, you just can't give an offer over the phone, even though that some will ask and some will insist. It's just not possible. So be prepared to explain why you can't do that.
We have about 2 minutes remaining, so I want to get your final don't on this issue.
Here's my final don't, and don't treat this conversation as an interrogation. Remember, you're still a stranger to them. They called you. They don't know you. Don't go down the path of asking, hey, how much do you owe on the house? What's your mortgage rate? What's your monthly payment? That information can come later. You can start to ask those type of questions on this call, and you may very well scare that seller away because you've crossed a personal or a privacy boundary. So remember, don't make this an interrogation. It's a conversation with the objective of listening, building rapport, and getting invited, determining the what, why, where, and when. But it is not a time to delve into their personal business. That will come later, as necessary, as needed, and as they are willing to disclose it.
And these are very good points. They're very commonsensical points, and they're also necessary guidelines for real estate investors to follow when their marketing is successful, when responses have ensued, and when you have people on the phone that want to move forward and you have the opportunity to meet them in person. I think most importantly, your approach, Kevin, which is one of patience, due diligence, and transparency of information and professionalism in general, is an asset, period. As always, I thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Lewis.